What is going down, everyone? It's time for the hype, episode number 199.5, the national edition, the recap. So we got a lot of stuff to talk about, what happened, what we pulled, what we did. It was crazy. It was a crazy couple days. And at the end of the show, we're going to be talking to Mike Fruitman from Mike's Stadium Sports Cards. We visited his shop. He was very, showing us his shop, and we had some great dinner with him. I think Dan had some buffalo balls. I had some buffalo balls.
Denver, anyways, baby. Denver.
Denver's an amazing place. His shop's in Aurora, so you got to check it out. But we have a phenomenal interview with him at the end of the show. And you may ask, why is it 199.5? Because we're not quite ready for episode 200. I hope I didn't crush too many dreams of you guys out there that were waiting for the bottles to be popped and everything. But we just got back from the National. We had a couple days to prepare for the show. So we're going to do it big. We got big plans for episode 200. Lots of giveaways as well as just some crazy stuff. We're going to blow your mind and you're going to celebrate with us. Dan, what's going down?
Feeling good, man.
Are you?
Back.
100%?
Move. Am I really ever 100%? I don't know. 90, 92. Okay. I actually like how you went 199.5. Kind of felt like you were doing like a radio call sign. But the dial doesn't
go. The FM dial.
The dial doesn't go up to 199.
KSJL 92.3 on the FM dial. But anyways.
well, that's fun.
Yeah. Rocking all your hits here now. But no, we got a lot to talk about. I mean, it was a whirlwind of a national. What were something, before we kick this off, you're going to see some of the stuff in the slides here if you guys are watching it on YouTube. And make sure you hit that subscribe button. Also, we're going to have a giveaway this show, too. I know you guys, there was a guy that was like, when I wasn't here, they're like, bring Doug back for the giveaways.
Well.
So here that, I am, guys. I'm here because I'm the Santa of this operation.
That is true because, like, we didn't even talk about a giveaway. And the first comment was, Doug leaves.
I give the people what
they want. Where is the giveaways?
Exactly.
I think Cody handled it. He went through and got something to give away. But my bad. My fault, actually. I take full responsibility for that.
You got it. I'm the Santa of this operation. So I make it rain. I make it rain in freebies. So stay tuned for that. We're going to announce that at the end of the show of what we're going to be doing. So you got to pay attention. Pay attention to the show, and you'll have your chance at a giveaway. But let's talk national, Dan. And what was one thing that you saw at the national that you did not expect?
The amount of people. Actually, the amount of people on preview day, Wednesday. They open from 4 to 8. It was like a stampede to the PSA line. Mm-hmm. You get hurt. Yeah. You get hurt if you're sitting looking. You're trampled. Setting up your booth, not paying attention. Bam, knock you right over. I got to get the PSA.
Nike to
the
head, yeah.
4 to 8 Wednesday felt like the peak time on Saturday in mm-hmm. previous years.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't even know. I mean, I know there was like 40-something thousand people coming through the doors something on like Saturday. But Wednesday preview really stands out.
Yeah, it does. It was a healthy amount of people. And, shout out to you guys that came by the booth and said hi. That was the whole reason we went, really. And especially the amount of people that said, hey, thanks for doing the hype. So, I mean, that we actually had more people that knew us, and I'm not laughing, but I kind of am because it is surprising. But it also makes me feel good inside at the same time. There was more people that knew about the hype that said, hey, I've been in a break. So, maybe we got to change our advertising budget on the breaks. But it was great for people to have people come up and say that to us. And for those of you guys that did listen to those hype episodes, so our booth was right next to PSA. So you guys that are listening to audio, you didn't see that. But we were right next to the PSA booth, which was nice because the lighting was good. And we didn't have a whole lot of traffic in that area. But every once in a while, you probably hear that real high-pitched sound. And I think somebody told Cody that they felt like it was like a dog whistle in the background. That was PSA slabbing cards. So I don't know if it was the cutting of the slabs or it was like the stamping of the slabs. But I was actually thinking about doing a money counter because I think the cheapest, and I could be wrong, but the cheapest a thing to grade there was $300. So you could just like every 5 seconds, it was just like another $300.
Was it not $250? It was
It was $250, but I felt like it was. I felt like mine was $300, and then we did that. LeBron, it was like $1,000, but yeah, that's what that was.
What LeBron?
I think we pulled a LeBron.
Oh,
I think it was pretty.
Just another day at the office, huh?
Just another day at the office.
Another day at the office.
You know what's, and we've talked about it. We talked about it with Ken Golden and all that stuff. That and check out those shows on Mojo Break Media and audio versions. Mojo Sessions, we did a phenomenal amount of shows. We got the Mike Fruitman one coming up later in the show, but we had Ken Golden. We had Doug Plagans on from the play-by-play announcer for the Florida Panthers. That was phenomenal. We had Adam Martin from Dave and Adam Card World. That was a great conversation. I think those early ones, the Doug and the Adam Martin, and I think the Ryan from RBI Crew, I had my voice. So I was listening to him back. Sounded great.
Chris Keller was a good one.
Chris Keller,
John Newman was a good one.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, I felt all of our interviews were actually pretty good.
Yeah. I think they turned out pretty well.
There was really very few dead air. I think Tracy Hackler, Joe Staley, they had an amazing chemistry
Bromance
together.
Might have started, I don't know. They
amazing
might have, they might
chemistry.
Have
so good.
They might be listening to who's the Bebop.
And you, if you actually were watching it, you probably don't see me, but I was there. I was put in the corner for that one.
Yeah, you were producing.
I was super producer Dan. I wasn't doing a lot of producing. Actually, all I did was make sure the computer was recording, yeah, and made sure your microphones were on. So.
Right. Yeah, if not, we might have scrapped the whole show. So
that was it. But yeah, every once in a while you'll hear me talk, and it was fun.
Yeah,
actually, I like being in the corner.
Yeah, there, and definitely. What I was going to say was, Ken Golden brought it up a lot in our interview, and we brought it up in a lot of our other podcasts about the age demographic that were there. You know, when you start seeing guys that, you know, are prepared for the flood, where the, you know, the ankles are showing and
forbidden.
You know, the forbidden ankles are showing. You can kind of tell the style of the younger gentleman, and there was a lot of that going on. And we're very proud of that, for this industry to start going the other way in age.
I think just the ankles is old school now. I was seeing a little bit of calf.
Oh, it's going up.
It's going up.
It's going up.
It's going up. They're going to be what were those pants at, like capri pants?
Hmm.
We're almost there.
We're
probably about 8 months to a year away.
Yeah,
from capris,
karate pants too.
Yep.
Those are coming back.
But yeah, I mean, but you're saying, like, we were talking about it. For the last 10 years, ever since we've been doing it, it was always like, how do we get the younger demographic involved? How do we get the kids involved? What do we got to do? Like, the kids are not interested. They want to play video games. This national, we show up and the early 20s demographic probably outnumbered our demographic of late 30s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For the first time in a decade. So without even trying, I think the industry got a lot younger. And yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I mean, you got your guys like Aoki and all these artists and the all the stuff in the retail stuff popping and Logan Paul. I mean, there was a lot of things that contributed to that, and you know, just those guys being at home for a year. They were able to discover their passion. And you know what? I think it also creates – it makes some of these guys feel like they're entrepreneurs, right? They're like – it's a low buy-in to become an entrepreneur in the card industry. You know what I mean? You don't need to have somebody make something for you. You can buy a box and start your card empire, so to speak, with a few cards. And then you can show up to the National and flip those cards and buy more cards. And you've got this whole business going on.
You can name your company Mojo Break with an S.
Yes. You could. Yeah, we got, you know, sometimes people say flattery is, or imitation is flattery, but there was two companies that just popped up.
Just
using Mojo Break, and they're going to be breaking cards.
Right after the National.
Right after the National. I guess we did some good things over there, but.
Never heard of you.
I'm going to blame it on Joe Staley. Maybe they saw them there, and they're like, I want a former football player to break cards with me. So I'm going to name my name similar to theirs. I'm not going to even be creative at all. I'm just going to copy their name, and I'm going to go for it. So, yeah, there's some couple little things going on.
I think, and I'm not – I'm just jumping off here, Doug, just jumping off. I fear there may be some confusion.
A little bit.
I have a fear that there may be some slight confusion. If we're all named Mojo Break and we're all doing the same exact thing – there may be a little bit of confusion.
There might be some phone calls. There might be some people thinking there, where's my card? Or, you know. God forbid if the guy has like a similar name in a break and then he watches our break. And he
I'm in the three box Topps Heritage Hanger break, Cody. Where are they? Why are you breaking select basketball? That's what we're going to have to deal with.
We're going to have to deal with that.
Sorry, I'm not trying to throw Cody under the bus over here. I just want to put myself in his position.
I think I'm going to name my next child Mojo Brick if you guys are okay with that. It's just catching on.
Everyone's fine. You're going to do that. Yeah. Shane's going to get a tattoo of Mojo Brick.
I think Doug was, when we had that interview with Doug over the week, and Doug was ranked 755 amongst baby boy names. I think Mojo's going to have it beat. I mean, it's just it's trending. It's climbing up the ranks. So, but you know, hey, we take pride in our name, and just don't take it. Just find another name. I mean, seriously, you know.
I mean, I actually contact me. I've come up with some great names over the years. I've sat there.
There was actually some great names at the National for break companies.
I've sat there, done some really, really strong brainstorming with Rich Layton, and I'm pretty sure that we'll gladly give you a handful of names that we've come up with.
Like, we were playing pool, or not pool, we were bowling, sorry, same, totally different thing.
Slightly different.
And
different size ball.
There was a company that was at the, it was a Southern Hobby. They rented out the Kings. Shout out to Southern Hobby. It was a great party. It was probably the best one at the National. There was a company called Best Card Breaks. So I just could only hope for silver.
Sure in hell, not the worst.
You know? I could only help for they're the best ones. Best Card Breaks was their name, and
it's not bad. That's not bad.
And then there was another one, and I meant to go up and ask them. I saw them walking around the National, and it was Backyard Breaks. And I thought I
got one for you too.
Backyard Breaks. I thought, what do you do when it snows or it rains? Is it like canceled, or do they have an overhang? I may have to tune in just to see, because if it's only in the backyard, I've got some questions. You know, I've got some questions on how commerce goes down.
All right, so the winner, and I don't know if they had a booth, but they were definitely walking around, sporting their brand, their swag, Barbell Breaks, and they had sun out, guns out, showing off the muscles. I was jealous. Yeah, pretty much like that. The python's a little bit bigger than yours, Doug. Sorry, but yeah, Barbell Breaks. I mean. That's a good one, too. That's a good one.
I'm afraid the guy might just crush my card.
That's a good one. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of really, really good names out there.
I think there was one called, you know, I'm going to try to make this as PG as possible, but it was...
I think you're making it up now.
It was Retail Breaks, and they said, F the hobby boxes. That was the slogan.
That was actually...
That was on the sweatshirt.
Well, they went out and actually had merch made. They had merch made, and it said, Retail Boxes, Breaks, F Hobby Boxes.
And then I think there was one called Sleeving Sports Cards.
Yeah, I mean now we're really going for it. I think they were like our neighbors.
Free press.
I think they were our neighbors.
Sleeving,
right?
Sports Cards.
They
want to know where they got their sleeves. I'm running short.
They were young. They were young, and I think they were on. Quote. I don't know if whatnot app. Is that did I just give them free press?
You did.
I did. Don't know what it is. I mean, I think we actually talked to him.
We did.
I think. Well, you did.
I'm strongly considering it, maybe.
Cool.
Some regard.
You're start with another brand name, right? Doug's
Nutsack Breaks. Yeah.
Oh, that you can't take that one. That one's
that's
already
us and Rich.
That one's yeah. No, that's me and Rich. Sorry. Do you want to be part of it?
I thought we were doing a three way.
No, we're not doing a three way. That was a Rich Layton, myself. And I think David from our favorite distributor was involved in that as well.
Oh,
yeah,
that's messed up.
Sorry, man.
A piece of the company.
Sorry, you didn't get it.
Hair.
That's $1 million idea.
No, I mean, like, I'm thinking of jumping on there. A Nutsack Breaks. I mean, do you think Whatnot would like allow that?
Nutsack on the Whatnot. Well,
gold. It's literally gold.
The thing I love about this episode
is
it is recorded, so we can always take all the terrible stuff out. And the dead air.
The dead air.
Absolutely not happening.
Well, there was a slide there, and I can't really read the sign, but there's a sign, and I saw this at a booth, so I had to take a picture of it, and it said, "Somebody, whoa,
whoa,
somebody's throwing stuff around." Okay.
Shows that good, huh?
That's Backyard Breaks coming to talk, take us outside. Motivated seller, but not desperate or stupid. In parentheses, I thought that was kind of cool.
They had a sign made.
Motivated seller.
That's cool.
And that was another thing I wanted to bring up is, and I know, you know, maybe these things sold themselves this year, but me, I'm a salesman. And there really wasn't a lot of guys that were like out there trying to sell. I want to give a shout out to Mealy Pops. I didn't buy anything, but I went over there and introduced myself. I was actually trying to sell some of my Otanis. And he was like, hey, can I interest you in a 12-13 Prism case? And I'm like, maybe. Maybe you can. And I was like, what's the price? And it was a lot of money. But
if you have to ask.
Like, hey, can I interest you in a Flawless? And he was literally the only guy asking for the sale. There was not a lot of people out there asking for the sale. And that's sale 101. If you don't ask for the sale, most of the time you don't get the sale. And I know we're living in an age right now where, you know, these Zions, these Jaws, these LeBron, whatever you're pulling, they're selling themselves. But the guys that are asking for the sale, that's why I can see why Mealy Pops is successful, because he's asking for the sale. And that's what he did. He asked for the sale.
He also, if you have to ask how much, you can't afford it.
Oh, well, I mean, these things change every day. But it was an original 12-13 Prism case.
Basketball. 100,000?
It was something like that. I mean, 150.
Just add another 50K to it.
If the LeBron, the amount of money,
getting back to the National, the amount of money that was being thrown around, and I mean straight cash, homie.
Yes.
Was insane.
Yes.
Nothing like I've ever seen at any National.
No.
I was talking about it before we even went. We were speculating, like, how much commerce do you think is going to happen at the National? And I was like, I don't know, about $5 million. There was like $5 million going down like every like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I was not even in the ballpark.
Yeah. That might have been one deal. Just one deal.
There was multiple six-figure cash transactions a day.
Yeah.
There was a booth that I saw on Twitter that was sold out on Wednesday.
Jeez.
Somebody just came up and said, here's cash. I'm taking everything. You could just go home now.
Wow.
It was nuts, man. It was nuts.
Crazy. Yeah, I mean, Atlantic City's almost going to be a letdown. I'm sorry, but I think that
I'm not hating on
Atlantic. Maybe the 2023 National in Chicago.
I'm not hating on AC, but it's a letdown no matter what.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not just saying, like, Atlantic City has never been Chicago.
Yeah.
Atlantic City will never be Chicago. Chicago is just like kind of it's the mecca of card collecting.
Yeah. And we do have a video of us looking for Sean Mannion cards coming out very soon as well, so stay tuned for that. We've got so much footage that it's going to take us a while to get up. So.
I got an award. I got a self-given award from the National. I am the best buyer of the National.
Because I overpaid.
You have a card for $75, give you $100. You have three cards for $10, I give you $20.
Don't give anybody any ideas.
No, I mean, and every time I did that, you were there. You saw the smile on the dealer's face.
Yeah, they were very happy.
They were just like, look at this guy. If I can just get a couple more guys like this, no haggling.
That sign applied to you where it said stupid.
Yeah. That was yours. Stupid, but I was providing joy.
Motivated buyer. Desperate and stupid.
No, but I was providing joy and happiness and money for people.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, there was somebody asking $75. You'll see the video. Dan gave him $100. You'll see the video. It's coming out. But as you know, you guys got to check out the video. It's also in our trailer that we put up here on the channel, on the Mojo Break Media channel, that we actually bought a $25,000 box of Chrome, Topps Chrome 0304. We broke it with Joe Staley. I won't say anymore. You got to go watch the video. I mean, it was crazy. So
it was a dud box, actually. To be honest,
it was pretty
bad.
It was pretty bad. We also broke some 2017 Prism as well, which you can see some of the highlights here. You'll see that, and those videos will be posted soon on Mojo Break Media. But all in all, man, I think it was a great show. I mean, for us being able to see you guys, you know, there was a few moments where, like, because, you know, we've been locked inside for the most part, at least in our area here. And just getting all the kindness from you guys that listen to the show was just very heartwarming. There was a couple times I almost teared up just because, you know, becoming emotional as I get a little older. But just seeing you guys say some nice things to me about, like, something I have fun doing was absolutely phenomenal. So, Dan, anything else to add to the national recap?
I think you kind of stole what I was going to say. But, yeah, it was just great to see the kind words, not only from listeners, but also other podcasts and content creators coming up and having a mutual respect for what they do and what we do. And, yeah, I mean, I could and seeing people I haven't seen for, you know, 2 years, like seeing Ivan and Rob from Go GTS Live and seeing Keller and Rich Layton and a lot of people that I actually was there that I didn't get to sit down and talk to that I've known for a decade. So it was fun, man. It was fun.
Well, one thing too that I'm glad you mentioned his name, because there was somebody that came up to us and they did say, so it's goals. So maybe Atlantic City, the things will be different. Somebody said, I was really hoping you guys would be as big as Layton Sports Cards. So definitely a goal for us to get there, because, I mean, we're like small on the scale.
Small potatoes.
Of Rich Layton. So
small potatoes.
I think next year, maybe that tune will change, or maybe we'll just grow farther apart. Maybe you got to go one. You either got to go one way or the other.
I'll be honest with you, man. It is going to be the Jeff Bezos. It's big shoes to fill.
I could physically be bigger than Rich Layton, which I probably already am. But maybe I'll just gain 500 pounds. I'll be bigger than Rich Layton.
It's very difficult to get to Jeff Bezos status. And I know I keep on saying that. It's an inside joke. He'll probably get it.
Yeah.
But way to go, Jeff.
So are we the DeLorean of the industry then, if he's a Jeff Bezos?
Who is a Jeff Bezos?
I don't know.
You don't even know who I'm talking about.
I don't.
Okay. So.
But anyways, well, back to cards. We've got Gold Standard Football just came out, and Young Greg busted some this morning. We pulled the one-of-one Trey Lance tag auto. I really want that card. I need to get the shield in my PC because Jimmy G, who, I mean, you know what I mean? But Gold Standard, 5 hits a box. It's one of the better values. It's one of the first auto patches with NFL uniforms of these rookies. A lot to chase, a lot of vets, lots of legends. So fun break. We're doing half cases, you know, at a pretty good price. So check out mojobreak.com for that, for your breaks of Gold Standard. And without further ado, we've got Mike Fruitman from Mike's Stadium. He's about to rock the mic, and we're going to have some great stories. And stay tuned afterwards to find out how you could win something. What is up, everybody? We're live from the 41st National in Chicago, and this has been a meeting that we've been trying to get going for like 3 years. We got our dear friend Mike Fruitman from Mike's Stadium Club in the house. What's going down, Mike?
Things are good. It's national number 2 for me. So this is, you know, I've got one under the belt. Fortunately, it was the same building. So it's like, okay, I know where to pee. I know where to get drinks. And
right?
I know where my friends are. So it was much better.
And you kind of, you know, unfortunately, I hate to rip on things because everything's going so well, but the food here needs a little bit of step up a notch.
I just came back from Portillo's.
I know.
I will tell you, it was incredible. Yeah. And it lived up to advanced billing.
Yeah, it was just, burgers, right? Or burgers and hot dogs, right?
Hot dogs, and they also have the Italian beef sandwiches, the dip sandwiches.
That's right. That's what I needed to get. So I missed your text because I was freaking talking everybody's ear off over here doing the show, and I could have gotten some Portillo's. I missed out.
Sorry.
I'll vicariously live near you. So let's talk about, you've been around, I remember when we talked off air, that you got started in, I believe it was the Shaq year, right?
Yes. I started up in 92. I was working at the card shop, and it was one of those things. It's like Victor Kiam in the Patriots. It was, you know, he liked the shaving company so much that he bought it. And literally, the owner came to me in December and said, look, quit buying cards. I'm like, what are you talking about? Things are great. He goes, no, we don't have enough money for cards. One day, I bought a Griffey 89 Upper Deck, sold it the same day. I had this great sense of accomplishment. He's like, I told you not to buy cards. I'm like, what is going? I made you $50.
Right.
And he's like, all right, look, I got to sell it. I got to close it. And one of those ways doesn't work well for you. So.
Right. Now, you know, fast forward, go back to modern day here. What percentage of your collectors are your, you know, old, the guys that have been coming around for years compared to, like, the guys that started last week? What would you say the percentages are?
You know, fortunately, at the shop, we've developed a very long customer collector base. Sorry.
Yeah.
So I won't do it again. We have a great collector base. And, you know, I can tell how long somebody's been with me by which location they've started at, because we've we've moved four times, five locations, and so I'm like, oh, okay, so you're there. Oh, you've been a 15-year-old guy. And, you know, obviously in the last year, we've developed a real strong new base, but what we've also seen is a lot of lapsed collectors coming back.
Nice. I mean, it's crazy to see the young guys around here, you know what I mean? It's like, and it's a good thing, because I think it was like, and I've talked about this on prior podcasts, so people that are, like, loyal, they're like, you're going to talk about this again, but it's crazy because, like, we were the youngest guys 5-6 years ago, and we're like, what's the future going to be, you know? I'm like, 20 years from now, is there going to be people buying cards still? Because, you know, the younger guys don't seem to be interested in it, and now it's a complete opposite. You know, you've got the sneaker guys. You've got the, what you call them, you said collector. There is Clippers, unfortunately. You know, not the Dolphin. And these guys are, I think they're here to stay. And, you know, when they get, you know, into their 40s and maybe get a little bit more money, you know, they're going to remember that Zion. Whoever's the hot guy that's a legend, that's retired, they're going to have money to come to the 61st National and, you know, keep this thing going. So it's awesome to see. And how surreal is it, man?
It's, you know, you bring up the younger collectors, and it used to be a younger collector come in my store, and I'd want to make sure that they had a great experience. And part of that means, you know, trading them straight across. You're single for mine. And now it's like, you know, I walk up, and they're already, like, they've got three cards in the case. They've got a $100 card. They want $120 in singles because theirs is more active. I'm like, wait a second, guys, hey, let's be a little bit fair here.
Right, right, right. And it is funny. People just think that you would give them the money for the last comp. I mean, let alone there's eBay fees involved, right? So I'm giving you cash. I'm going to give you cash for your card. So let's take off the 20% eBay fees. And then that's what they want.
Well, and you know what? I like the kids, but, and I've got an 18-year-old son who's into the hobby, and I like the fact that he's learning negotiating skills. And not just like, look, it's this, I'll give you this, but also how to interchange with people, how to exchange and converse, where it's not, look, you know, here's my offer, take it or leave it. And really, I mean, that's part of the engagement you have with a collector. It's not just, look, you know, in, out, next. I want to have that repeat experience.
Right, absolutely. And what would you say that you do as far as your card shop that's unique to, you know, only your card shop?
I treat people like they're family.
Right.
That's not unique. Most card shops are doing that, or at least should be doing that. I give people the full experience. And sometimes, look, I grew up on my grandmother's sense of humor, which you don't fully know. And I also grew up on the movie Airplane. So am I flippant? I'm nice. Snarky. And, you know, if you wear Notre Dame or Nebraska stuff in my store, you're probably not going to have the best experience unless you have a great sense of humor. But, you know, but once you're in on the jokes, it's great. And you know, I'm fun on the phone. Literally, I answer the phone on speakerphone so that everyone. So when I do this, everybody goes, why? Because, you know, the whole how much you get this, will you beat blowout, will you do this, and the whole how much do you pay for things, which are valuable questions. But yeah, it's like I make sure that people are part of the experience of the shop.
Yeah, and that's amazing. I mean, sometimes even for me, I don't even call them customers. I want to call them friends.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because it feels like sometimes it's too businessy, right? You know, it's like, I don't want to call you a client or a customer. It's, you know, you build these friendships. And that's where, you know, you've been doing, obviously, I had a shop a lot longer. We did. We were talking to people through cameras where they were seeing our face, but we were just seeing their username and their text.
Right.
Where you don't get emotion. You don't get any dry, you know, if they're making a joke, you don't know if they're being serious or not. So I loved, once we opened the shop, to be able to talk to people face-to-face about their experiences. And it seems like things actually go better that way, face-to-face rather than either through email or through the chat room, you know. So
I agree. It's one of the luxuries we have as a shop owner, and now you do as well, where it's a very personal experience. And yes, when you're breaking for someone, you're doing a personal break, you're doing a case break. Yes, everybody's involved with it, and you're looking at their comments stream down the side. But it is so much more distant. We love it when collectors, when we do breaks, about 90% of our stuff is picked up in the shop. So we get to have that experience, hey, congratulations, or I'm sorry, I get to try to rectify it a little bit,
right,
where it's done face-to-face. And you know, I'm not just a face behind a screen or on a screen. I'm their LCS.
And that's what's amazing, too, is like, hey, you can get into this break, and then you're getting them to come back in the shop, right? So that's definitely the benefit of having a shop and doing breaks is that, hey, come pick up your cards tomorrow, and why don't you just pick up a hoops box while you're here, you know? Exactly.
you already participated in the break. You want to break some more. So that's the amazing thing about doing, you know, both ways of commerce these days, right? So now, if you guys don't know, the shop's in Aurora. We visited it. We went down to Denver for the All-Star Game and the All Cards Weekend, which Mike threw on, which you heard Dan talk about on the last show, how phenomenal the show was. The area is phenomenal if you've never been there. I almost want to get like a vacation home over there or something because I'm falling in love. I actually watched a video on YouTube of a house in Vail. And, you know, obviously I'm never going to be an Exxon CEO who's selling it. But this house was just absolutely gorgeous. Every room had a view of the mountain. And, I mean, it's just, it'd be nice to have a secondary place to live. And I love your area. It's beautiful.
So I'm as you know, I'm in just outside of Denver, right by the airport. And yes, I go to Vail, and I imagine what it'd be like to live in those houses. Yeah. I'll ski, and that's about as close as I'm getting.
Yeah. I don't ski. I do snowboarding. Never tried skiing. And I actually haven't snowboarded in like 20 years. So I don't know. You know, I can't break these hands, so,
right.
You know what I mean? Maybe a leg or two, but the hands need to stay because I need to use the hands, you know, so.
Yeah, just don't tear an ACL or ACLCS.
Right. Yeah, I actually was running out on the football field last night. I was racing Joe, and I was like, man, I hope I don't pull a hamstring. I mean, that's what happens as you get older, right? You pull hamstrings. You're like, you're not like you used to be. You're not be able to run like you did in your 20s, right? So.
But the hands, that's a
critical. That's the most important thing. So if I fall, I'm like trying to fall onto my leg or my elbow or something because the hands, just I need them, right? So the most valuable part. Maybe I should get insurance, like J-Lo's butt. I can get insurance on my hands.
Millions. Millions. Millions.
You know, just if it happens, then you know, I can cash out. So, so. Going through the I know you've walked the floor a little bit.
Absolutely.
Was there any card at the National that is a must have for you that you don't have yet?
You know, there was a Wagner on the floor, and it was a you know, it was a three, and just seeing it, it's my National experience happened at the last National. I was on the floor. And Joe Davis from J&J Sports Cards.
Yeah, good guy.
He saw me, and he had this, hey, I know you like music. Here you go, check this out. And it was a Woodstock ticket, and he didn't know that I was born August 15th, 1969.
Oh, geez.
First day of Woodstock, and most of the, overspeak here, guys, sorry. Most of the Woodstock tickets were three-day tickets. He had a single ticket from the day I was born, not my birthday, day of.
That's crazy.
And it was a PSA 10, and it was one of those moments where, like, money meant nothing to me. And I'm literally, he's got 500, and I'm like, so Joe, 500? He's like, no, how about 200? Like, so 300? And that was, I walked up front, I talked to John Brogy, and I said, look, this is why I was here. And he showed it to me. He goes, oh, you wanted this? I said, no, I didn't know I wanted this. And then I saw it, and it reminded me, like, why does every collector come in my store? Because they want that experience. They want to find that card.
Exactly.
They want to find that piece of their childhood or the current day player who really excites them. And having that thing was like, I left there and I made a, I don't do this a lot, but I emoted to my collectors. I made like a 5-minute video where I talked about it and said, look, this is really important to me to remind me why you guys do this.
Right.
And some for you, it's buy a $2 Brady, sell it for $5.
Right.
God bless you. That's awesome. But for the people who, the heart of this industry is feelings, it's sentiments.
Exactly. It's, and you're right, it's memories. It's almost like photos on your phone or whatever that you could go back and look at and remember that time. And man, Woodstock, I think it was one of Santana's first shows, and he was on so many, you know, mind-altering things. I wish I would. I mean, I heard 99 and 94 were absolute S shows, but I think there's a documentary Dan was just talking about. I think it was Woodstock 99. On how just the whole thing, there was water was $4. They didn't have porta potties, and you know, Limp Bizkit got blamed for ensuing riots and stuff like that. And I'm actually, when I get home, I'm anxious to watch that documentary because there was so many bands that when I was in high school, like Limp Bizkit, Insane Clown Posse,
sure.
You know, Korn, Rage. I mean. That might be a ticket that I want to buy.
So that wasn't. So that was you sod tossing a Green Day and lighting.
That was 94,
fire?
Right?
99.
That was 99 too.
I believe.
Okay.
Yeah,
I thought that too. When I was talking to somebody, they said no, that was 94. I was like, I felt like that was 99 with Green Day.
I believe.
To fact check off the air, but you know, we talked about it with Keller when he was here, and our listeners know we're big music guys. So, and I know you get to work, you know, at the at different concerts and things like that. What is your most memorable concert in the area that you're in?
So I've been working concert security since 1988. And David Lee Roth and Steve Vai was the first show I ever worked. And I,
David Lee Roth was by himself?
It was the Eat 'em and Smile Tour. It was right after he'd broken up from Van Halen. It was David Lee Roth, Steve Vai. And so this roadie walks up to me and goes, hey, keep an eye on this bathroom. And he walks in with this girl and he goes, the bathroom's broken for about 20 minutes. So I'm like, and I had no idea what was going on. And finally, as I'm realizing I'm blocking the bathroom while somebody's getting their backstage pass, I realized that this is a really interesting industry, and I'm not sure I'm really designed for this industry, but I'm going to ride it out.
Right.
And that was 30-odd years ago.
That's hilarious. Yeah, Dave, I just listened to David Lee Roth. I think he was on Rogan a couple months ago, and that guy is an interesting individual. Even now, I can only imagine when he had a little bit more youth on his side what he was like to be around.
I would have liked to have been in an ambulance when he was an EMT.
He was an EMT?
Fact check this one. He was an EMT, and then you're like looking up like, are you David Lee Roth? Is this what I'm seeing before I die? And maybe this isn't so bad.
Yeah, that's crazy. Now, did you get a chance to do any Metallica shows out there?
Yeah, every time Metallica comes to town, something insane happens. We had them the night of the Obama election.
Oh, geez.
We had them the night that McGuire broke the record.
Oh, my God.
And we had them a number of years ago, and they were at the football stadium, and while Ride the Lightning is playing, we're watching increasingly approaching lightning strikes. So we had to stop the show.
You're like, is this part of the show, or is it like nature?
Metallica pulled in some favors. Mother Nature got in on the show, and yeah, we had a complete lightning strike. We had to clear the field, and everybody in the pitch like, I'm not leaving. I'm like, no, sir, you're leaving. I'm not creating this. There's lightning strikes. And I walked up to this one guy. I said, look, you're going to leave right now, or you're going to lose your wristband. He's like, what are you talking about? I said, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. He's like, what? And I snipped off his wristband. I said, great. Does anybody else want to lose their wristband? And suddenly became very real, and we were able to clear the field.
Have you guys had, like, and I talking on a morbid level here, but, like, you know, like, having to deal with people that are, like, oh, like maybe taking too much of some kind of substance that you have to kind of deal with?
We lost somebody at the Further Fest, which is everybody who was left from the Grateful Dead a number of years ago. Yeah. We lost somebody at that one. I don't know exactly what they overtook. But, yeah, and unfortunately, it doesn't happen that often. When the Pope came to town in 93, World Youth Day, they're like, hey, just, you know, in a city of 100,000 people, we have this many births, this many deaths. And I'm like, you're telling me we're working an event where we expect 4.3 people to die? And they're like, oh, yeah, completely. We expect them. I'm like, whoa.
That's crazy.
I'm not sure I really want in on this.
What kind of stat is that? That is insane. Yeah, I can't wait to go out to Red Rocks one of these days. I'm hearing all the story. I mean, you told the stories. I've talked to more people afterwards. Like, it was, like, one of the best concerts I've ever been to. And I'll have to, like, look at the concert calendar and try to plan out something to go see something at Red Rocks.
Going to see a show at Red Rocks is like any holiday in Vegas. It's just automatically better, except for, like, Easter. I don't think Easter is better in Vegas.
Yeah.
But, like Halloween in Vegas is obscene.
Yeah.
But and that's what every concert is. You know from every band you're getting their best show.
Right.
It's their YouTube moment.
That's insane. Yeah, I know they do, like, they used to do some rock festivals there where they'd have multiple bands and stuff like that. I'm sure that's going to be coming back now that we're all, you know, hopefully staying and coming back. But, you know, with what's going on in the world, you know, maybe we won't get as many concerts. I know they're all getting them in right now. So, yeah, I'm definitely excited to go to a concert at Red Rocks. Now, do you have, like, signed tickets and memorabilia in your personal collection or in your store from bands that you've seen or anything like that?
So not so much bands. Actually, you know what? I do have one. And if we went to the house, well, next time when you come over to the house,
yeah.
I met Stevie Ray Vaughan, and nice. I got him to sign one, and we had our nanosecond. I said, just Stevie, Mr. Ray Vaughan, Mr. Yeah. Vaughan, whatever I said. Said, hey, look, a lot of people coming back from alcohol rehab wouldn't profess it. They would, like, it would happen. It would be like a quiet thing. You were very vocal about it, and hopefully other people can find encouragement from you affecting your life.
Right.
And he wrote, you know, to Mike, thanks, pal, and God bless. And I'm like, whoa. And then now to have that on the wall, like, I shouldn't. It should be, like, shellacked. It should be underneath the safe.
Did you get it PS8 or?
I haven't. It's so old. It's remember the boxes when they had banned the box when CDs used to come in, like, a yeah. giant oversized box?
Yes.
So you wouldn't shoplift them?
It was like, yeah, exactly. It had, like, just, like, maybe a bunch of space, and then the CD was bought. Yeah,
it was kind of like
when they first came out.
It was,
right?
Yes, yeah. Yes, because I'm old. It's kind of
I remember that. I remember buying CDs. I think at Guns N' Roses, Use Your Illusion.
Yep.
I remember getting it that way. Because Terminator 2, you know, they had the You Could Be
Mine.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm telling my mom, like, I got to get that album. I remember it was in that big old thing. I remember buying her buying Garth Brooks at Costco. It was the same way, the Garth Brooks CD. So, but the reason I asked you is because we actually had we were fortunate enough to have a customer that was related to Tom Petty.
Oh, no.
And Tom Petty came into town to play with, he was playing with Mudcrutch, which was his first band. So we got to go backstage. I might have told you this story already, but we got to go backstage at the Fillmore, watch him play, and then we hung out with him at his hotel and watched the Warriors Cavaliers series, which were Warrior fans, and then that was the game seven where the Cavaliers won. So I was like, I don't even care that my team lost. I'm hanging out with Tom Petty. So we had him sign, Dan's in the music industry. We had him sign a pit guard that Dan brought. Mm-hmm. He drew a whole like little thing of a character smoking and then Tom Petty and blah, blah, blah. The best of wisdom, you know, something like that. Sent it in a PSA and they said it was fake. So I was like, we were there. And you know, I know it's they try to be, you know, it's a judgment thing, but I'm like, did I need to send him that? Because I took a picture. I didn't have to take a picture of him signing because I think that would be weird, right? And we weren't going to sell it. We just wanted it to be, you know, with the item. You know, it's me. We're never going to sell it, but we just wanted it to be a PSA. Also, we wanted to have the experience so we could talk about it on the podcast. So,
sure.
I felt like bringing it over here and be like, here's the picture of Tom Petty. Here's the backstage footage. Can we at least put that sticker on there for me?
Yeah, legit.
So, and that's got to be a tough job because maybe he signed slightly different. And the only auto they have to compare to is, like, from 1989, and it's completely different.
One of the other things is, you know, a lot of other people get a rush job signature. They don't have to take the Time autograph. And they're like, wait a second. No, the T looks completely different because he really cared.
Well, I thought that was, like, he drew a picture, and it was on a guitar pick, and it's like, why would anybody forge something? Like, if I was gonna forge Tom Petty, probably get a white card, and you know what I mean, like a postcard or something like that. It was like, there's so many different elements in there that I was surprised that the grader, you know, just, and they took our money. It was like $200, and you know, you get nothing back. It's like the whole like, I should have took that money and put it on the roulette wheel. You know, it's the same odds. You know, so, but you know, we're big into the music stuff and. It's always interesting to hear stories like the Woodstock ticket and stuff like that. And I'm sure there's a bunch of tickets out there.
There are. There is one table out there. It's all. It looked like it was mostly athletic tickets. But, yeah, I'm sure there were some other event tickets as well.
Yeah, it's getting loud in here. I think they're cheering for us and our stories. But so what's been hot in the shop recently? I know we're in the end of July, and we've had some new releases. What's been the hottest sports card product in the shop?
So one of the things that I'm really aware of is our football sales this year. You know, going into this year with Trevor Lawrence and the other quarterbacks and other position players, it seems like a really strong year. And while we've seen some appreciation, we're not seeing monster appreciation with boxes, which is great. You know, it's tough to restock still right now. I think distributors are aware. I think everybody's kind of waiting for those first footage to come out of training camps.
Right.
You know, where he's throwing bombs and everything's getting caught and touchdowns. I think football right now is definitely, it's a quiet one because it's still baseball season. We're just coming off the end of basketball.
Right.
But I think football right now, if you had to quit, even though baseball's doing great, I'd say quick answer, I think football. And I think, you know, it's tough because I want to hold back product. I want to have things on my shelf. I want to keep them for a while.
Right.
But in the same regard, I can't say no to something. If somebody says, do you have more Elite? I'm going to crack that case.
Right. You have to. I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, like, we talk about how many 12, 13 Prism cases we had. I think we had, like, 40 or 50 where we were making $20 a box, 13, 14 Prism. I couldn't even give it away. I was giving it as free packs, and people, like, were complaining about that. So it's a tough thing. And I've seen breakers go the route of just selling to the highest bidder on DealerNet. For those of you who don't know, it's like a network of dealers that sell to each other. Instead of breaking it, they just sell it. But at the end of the day, if we're not getting the cards in the customer's hands, what's that benefiting, right? So if I'm not doing any of the hot products on my breaks, I'm just doing the stuff that I have a lot of, then those customers are not going to come back, and they may not even be in the hobby anymore, you know? So it's important. And I know a lot of dealers stress over the fact that they lost money or it went up tenfold in a month or whatever. But, you know, if you got it in your customer's hand, then somebody benefited from that.
I agree. And one of the things that you have to have in this business is you've got to be able to not look back.
Right.
It's so tough. I mean, how many cases? I'm a little bit older, so how many cases of 2000 product that I have for football?
God,
how many 03, 04s? And, you know, if I had just broken my leg during the 03, 04 basketball season, had to shut down for, that's a long break, but 6 months, 8 months, that would have been so much better.
Same thing with the 17 season, right, at this point. I just actually just opened a $10,000 box of Prism today with Joe. That I think we were selling for like what $300 when it came out.
Oh, yeah.
And back then in 2017, everybody was chasing Kareem Hunt out of all people because Watson got hurt, Mahomes wasn't playing, Trubisky wasn't playing well, and Kareem Hunt was getting like 200-yard games. So everybody's chasing Kareem Hunt. We couldn't even fill out. I remember it was tough to fill contenders. Like nobody wanted to buy contenders. It was tough to fill the National Treasures at that time. And it's like Yes, break leg moment or a year-long vacation would have been great.
When NT hit in 2017, my distributors like me, not as much as they like you. We had 17 cases of NT football, and I'm thinking to myself, how the freak are we going to get rid of this? There's no way we're going to be able to move through all this. And we were pushing it at 2K a case. And, wow, can we get in the DeLorean, go 88 miles an hour, lightning strike?
It's so crazy. I mean, same thing with soccer. I was just talking to Cyrus, who's a big soccer player.
Oh, yeah.
And we didn't break soccer, and then 14 came around, and we had some success with the World Cup. And then flawless soccer was announced. And I remember at the summit, they're like, flawless soccer's coming. I'm like, ooh, you know, Messi on card, right? So we had to buy, I think it was 40 Donruss, 2015 Donruss soccer cases to get 20 flawless cases. And we did it. And it almost broke us. I mean, we were like dwindling in the bank account because we sold the first few, and then it just seemed like people lost interest because it was soccer. It wasn't baseball. It wasn't football. And it's like I talked to Cyrus. So I think we paid $2,400 for the flawless cases at the time. They're $50,000 now.
Oh.
And I think the Donruss that was $40 a box is like $700 or something crazy like that now. So it's just like, and I think we even opened the last two flawless in hopes of selling the singles, and we did, and they would have been more than that. It's like, man, only like, and like you say, you can't look back, but it's fun to chat about. It's fun to laugh about. Of like, if you could only get back and get Michael J. Fox kicking that DeLorean, man.
I saw Cyrus getting out of the elevator this morning at the hotel we were at, and he was walking across, and we talked for a nanosecond, and I'm thinking, here's a guy who basically had exclusives on a sport.
Oh, I know.
He owned soccer.
He did.
And still does to a major extent.
Yes.
But everybody else wants to dance in his playground. So here's a guy who's used to getting boxes that don't appreciate quickly, that nobody cares about, where you're like, oh, my God. I'm sure he's many instances like, yeah, I'll take your soccer, but you'll give me something good, right, also.
Yeah, I hope. I mean, I don't know his allocation. He seems like he's having fun still. So, I mean, I'm sure he's doing pretty well. But, yeah, him and I think it was G1 were like the only the only two guys that was really kind of holding the candle doing every soccer release.
Wow. Know?
So, and now it's like one of the products I like to rip. I used to like the World Cup, but I never rip like Champions League or anything like that. I actually really enjoy opening soccer now.
And, you know, thinking back about a year and a half ago when we were at the Topps conference and they had just laid out the plan where it's like, look, if you want to be direct, you want to buy all this baseball, well, you know, you're going to have to buy WWE, you're going to have to buy Star Wars,
Bundesliga.
You're going to have to buy Bundesliga. And we were all literally like, and you know, Topps, please forgive me, we were less than fully enamored with this opportunity.
Right.
And, you know, here it is a year later, and those order forms, those emails come out, we're like, hey, it's available. And I'm, you know, son, honey, stop. I'm going to finish my steak in a bit. Hold on. And, you know, get that order in before you forget about it.
Right, right. It's incredible. That's incredible. I mean, we talked about it with NASCAR, the NASCAR radio guys. That's like the last category that I don't understand why NASCAR at that point. You know, like, what is it going to take for NASCAR? Because you got soccer, you got UFC, everything blowing up. But NASCAR still remains the same.
Yeah, Chronicles came out this year, and the big boys were at $119 a box. And I was like, oh, my God, that's actually really cool. Because I didn't want that product to get inflated. It makes it harder for me to roll it. It makes it tougher for my collectors to swallow that pill. And I felt nice. Although, I got other collectors like, wait a second, so NASCAR is $119. Why isn't everything $119?
Right.
I'm like, well, there's a few other dynamics to it.
Right, right. And the NASCAR guys actually like where they're at. You know, the NASCAR collectors don't want it to get hot, but it's just surprising to me because you could do so many things with the memorabilia. I mean, more than anything, right? You could do the car, the sheet metal, all that stuff.
Sure.
And it's phenomenal that it hasn't really taken off. And you got the legend, you got the history of Richard Petty and Dale Earnhardt Sr. and, you know, Jeff Gordon. And it's like, it feels like it very similar, like the legends of basketball and then the Haley Deegans that are upcoming, you know? So maybe someday it'll happen.
Here's one for you. The first relic card ever made, and fact checkers get me on this one. The first relic card ever made was race, I believe it was race tire or race outfit.
Wow.
But literally, if I'm wrong.
Press pass?
Call me out, yep. I think they literally were the first one to get done.
Wow. Yeah, I remember the press pass. I think it was 5-star. It was one of my favorite products. We couldn't move it, but, you know, every once in a while somebody would buy a box for $400 and it'd be like some of the prettiest looking cards they ever made. And I believe, didn't DJ used to be the head of racing at Press Pass, right? DJ,
yeah,
from Panini.
Absolutely. He was there, and also Fleer, and now with Panini.
Yeah, crazy. Well, I know you got a lot of stuff going on. We appreciate it. I'm glad we finally made this freaking happen, you know. And, you know, we'll have to do it again. And tell everybody where they can find you on social media to follow you and your shop.
Absolutely. So it's Mike Stadium Sports Cards. We're in Aurora, Colorado. Easiest thing to do, just type in Mike Stadium Sports Cards. Figure out the way you want to communicate with us. If you want to be Facebook, Twitter, if you want to be YouTube, whichever way you want to be part of the party, please do. Mike Stadium Sports Cards. Love to have you be part of the party.
Definitely. Thanks again, Mike.
Absolutely.
All right. See, that was a fantastic interview, even though my voice was almost gone. But Mike made it seem like we only talked for 5 minutes because he's just a great guy, great to talk to. One of the most loved guys in this industry as well. I mean, even though he is a Rocky and a Bronco fan, we still do love him. Even though, you know, he's a meme from with the Nugget, with the Jokic brothers.
He's a Nugget fan. I think he's an Avalanche fan.
Avalanche are good. They are good. And really ambassador to the shops. I mean, he's kind of the go-to guy for the shops, and he's just a legend. So, but now it's time for the giveaway. I know we were talking about concerts with Mike. So we want to know, we're going to be giving away a box, and this is an empty one. You'll be getting one that's full. A box of Prism 2021 draft picks. We're going to be giving that away. We want to know what your favorite concert of all time was and what year it was. Hopefully you can remember.
That's a hobby box, Doug.
Yeah. That is a hobby box of 2021 Prism
Draft
Picks.
I think he meant to grab the H2, but he grabbed the hobby for you.
Andy, well, you guys just didn't give anything away. So
I would have grabbed the H2.
It's time for you guys to pony up and give some stuff away. Just coming out of mine, yours, and Cody's check, since you guys didn't give anything away. It's coming out the check. And we'll find a winner. But I want to know, because I'm a concert guy, so I want to know what concert was your favorite concert of all time. So
Lollapalooza, Limp Bizkit.
Yes. All right, guys. Well, thanks for tuning in. Next week, The Hype, episode 200, is going to be ridiculous. So, and we're also moving into a format where we're not going to necessarily be live, and I know that's going to crush some of you guys. But it's just easier for us to film some segments ahead of time and get the content all edited up, you know, maybe, you know, get my voice sounding better and stuff, make things better. So we may jump back into some live segments, but it's just easier to edit everything together.
I don't know why you said that, dude. I was just going to roll out and just have it seem like it's live.
What if somebody asks you a question? What do you do?
I'll just once, like, every segment, I'll just like shake my head and go, yeah, whatever you guys say in the chat, I agree. I agree in the chat.
Yeah. I'm drinking Windex. Yeah. No. I'm drinking Windex. That's right.
No.
Kombucha. All right, guys.
I'm off the booch.
I'm off the stuff.
I'm off the booch.
All right. Well, this is it for episode 199.5, our national recap. Thanks again for everybody for listening. And we'll see you next week on 200. Don't miss it. It's going to be insane. You're going to watch the YouTube premiere because, I don't know. We may pop two bottles. We may eat weird stuff. I don't know. We're going to do some crazy stuff. Peace out.